वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचाणूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दोग्धा गोपालनन्दनः पार्थो वत्स सुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयति गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम्. We have been discussing what Bhagavan Krishna calls Jnanam. Jnanam means those special spiritual qualities having which alone we can really progress in spiritual life. Because these characteristics facilitate our attainment of the Jnanam, by proxy, these qualities are also called Jnanam. This is very important word for us. Why we have not progressed in spiritual life? This is one of the frequently asked question. Another one, a less complicated but more useful question is that I do not see any spiritual progress. I have been initiated, I have been practicing for so many years. My mind seems to be in the same condition. I have no control over it. The old samskaras are still popping up again and again. So, how do I know I am progressing in spiritual life? The answer is that as we develop these spiritual qualities, to that extent we can say that we have been progressing in spiritual life. There is no other way. Jnanam automatically comes. I remember a beautiful analogy once a yoga teacher has given in one of spiritual conferences. I liked it very much and I can reproduce that analogy that he has given. Suppose there is a man in a room and there is a window. It is completely covered with dirt and there is brilliant light outside the man knows, but the light is not coming inside. Then what should he do? So that is where this analogy comes. Then somehow he could make out the window and he takes a piece of cloth and one small corner he rubs it with a piece of that piece of cloth and slowly the dirt, one small bit of that window becomes cleaned. As soon as that window becomes cleaned, that bit, it admits a small bit of light. Immediately the weight, which is as if waiting outside, immediately enters. A very small bit, maybe one or two rays. And with the help of that ray, where the light enters the place which this man cleaned, he could see further dirt. So now he can clearly see that there is dirt surrounding that light. So with the help of that light, he identifies the dirty part of the glass and he cleans it. A little more window glass is cleaned and little more light comes. And with that more light, he sees even more dirt. So as he goes on removing the dirt, more light comes in, and with the help of that light, he sees more darkness, more dirt, more stains, and then he goes on cleaning. Ultimately, the whole glass is clean and shining, and the whole room becomes completely filled with light. This is the analogy. As we go on acquiring a little bit of spiritual quality, that little bit of spiritual quality reveals the unspiritual qualities that we have. And slowly, we try to remove it. And how this happens is a psychological process. Because even though we may not be such highly developed souls, we cannot tolerate a consciously discovered fault. Unconsciously, if it is there, that's fine. That's why so many people don't want even to rub. Because if they understand, I have this bad quality, undesirable quality, his conscience pricks him. That's why it is better to be without conscience pricking us. So he goes on deluding himself more and more, covering himself or herself more and more, so that he need not to go through the process of cleansing up. This is what Bhagavan Krishna is telling in this, in answer to Arjuna's question. After all, Arjuna, you want knowledge, and it is nothing but you develop the qualities. That means you do not obstruct the jnanam, which is ever present, ever, everywhere. The moment you become pure and clean, knowledge automatically dawns. You don't need to bring it, you don't need to invite it. You just remove the obstacles. This removal of ignorance is called spiritual sadhana according to Hindu concept of sadhana. And these 20 qualities are being enumerated. And in our last class, what did we discuss? Amanitvam, Adambhitvam, Ahimsa, Kshantihi, Arjavam. So, Amanitvam, Adambhitvam, Ahimsa, Kshanti, Arjavam. 5 of these spiritual qualities. You remember, Manitva means a person becoming rightfully, justifiably proud because he really has certain wonderful either knowledge of literature or poetry or talent or whatever it is, for which he has a right to become proud. But a spiritual aspirant knows that whatever is there, it is given by God, it is not mine, and ultimately it has to be, acknowledgement has to be given to God. That idea doesn't belong to me, but belongs to God, and that is called Amanitva. The second, Dambhitva, means without having anything, the fellow wants everybody, forces everybody to give him honor, power, etc. That is called Dambha, arrogance, without having anything. Then, Ahimsa, a person who understands the whole universe is a creation of God. Everybody is a child of God. I am also a child of God. So everybody is none other than my own brothers and sisters. I have been sending these WhatsApp application messages in the last few days. So Swami Vivekananda says, very nicely, do you know, when I addressed the Parliament of Religions and I addressed them as brothers and sisters of, sisters and brothers of America, just 5 words, the whole audience spontaneously, without any urge, got up, because there was an urge, not from external point, but from internally, spontaneously. They went and applauded him for minutes together. And Swami Vivekananda, referring to, he said, do you know why they applauded me? Because I have that power. I have that power. But that power has been given to me by God. In fact, Swami Vivekananda saluted Mother Saraswati and handed over the podium to Mother Saraswati. He said, oh Mother, you use my voice and you speak out to the audience. And who is that Saraswati? None other than our Holy Mother Sharda Devi. Nobody else. She is only incarnated here. You can call Sri Ramakrishna spoke through him, Holy Mother spoke through him, Mother Saraswati spoke through him, Brahman itself spoke through Swami Vivekananda. And when God addresses, he knows, these are all my children, only in this case, sisters and brothers of America. Because they also felt, this man is not merely conventionally addressing us as sisters and brothers, but he really knows. This is the special quality of a spiritual aspirant who knows whatever his, not only the qualities, but the body, the mind, everything belongs to God only. So that is what is being told, that so he cannot injure anybody, because injuring anybody will be injuring himself. In other words, he becomes a perfectly moral person. Morality takes possession of him. What is morality? To identify oneself with everything else. Then, Kshantihi. In our life, many things happen. Some are good, some are bad. Most of the things are not in our control. So, to accept everything as the will of God, that is called Kshanti. That means we don't blame anybody. This has been beautifully illustrated by a Bengali song, Dosh Karo Noi Goma Amishwakata Molile Dube మురి శ్యామ. స్వఖాత శలిలే డూబే మురి శ్యామ. దిస్ ఎక్నాలెడ్జ్మెంట్ దట్ వాట్ ఎవర్ కమ్స్ ఈజ్ ఓన్లీ, ఇఫ్ బ్యాడ్ కమ్స్ ఐఎమ్ రెస్పాన్సిబుల్, ఇఫ్ గుడ్ కమ్స్ ఓన్లీ గాడ్ ఈజ్ రెస్పాన్సిబుల్. దిస్ షోస్ ది హ్యూమిలిటీ. సో క్షాంతి ఈజ్ ట్రెమెండస్ హ్యూమిలిటీ. అండ్ దెన్ ది ఫిఫ్త్ క్వాలిటీ వి డిస్కస్ వాజ్ ఆర్జవం, స్ట్రైట్ ఫర్. రిజుత్వం, ది రూట్ రిజు మీన్స్ స్ట్రైట్ ఫార్వర్డ్. దట్ మీన్స్ వితౌట్ మిక్సింగ్ అప్, వితౌట్ కవరింగ్ అప్ ఐదర్ పార్ట్లీ ఆర్ ఫుల్లీ, టు లెట్ ఎవ్రీబడి సీ వాట్ ఈస్ ది రియల్ థింగ్, వాట్ ఈస్ ది ట్రూత్. దట్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ రిజుత్వ, సింపుల్ మైండెడ్నెస్, ఆర్ ఇన్ శ్రీరామకృష్ణస్ వర్డ్స్ ట్రూత్. దట్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ ఆర్జవం, స్ట్రైట్ ఫార్వర్డ్నెస్. అండ్ వితౌట్ ది స్ట్రైట్ ఫార్వర్డ్నెస్ నో కుటిలత్వ షుడ్ బి దేర్, ఎనీ క్రూకెడ్నెస్ షుడ్ నాట్ బి దేర్. అండ్ దట్ క్రూకెడ్నెస్ ఈజ్ యాంటీ స్పిరిచువల్, అన్స్పిరిచువల్. సో దిస్ ఈజ్ వన్ ఆఫ్ ది మోస్ట్ ఇంపార్టెంట్ క్వాలిటీస్ వీ హ్యావ్ టు డెవలప్, అఫ్ కోర్స్ విత్ ఏ పించ్ ఆఫ్ సాల్ట్. వాట్ ఈస్ దట్ పించ్ ఆఫ్ సాల్ట్? యూ డోంట్ నీడ్ టు గో ఆన్ టెలింగ్ వాట్ ఈస్ హ్యాపెనింగ్ ఇన్ యువర్ మైండ్ టు ఎవరిబడి, ఎక్సెప్టింగ్ టు యువర్ గురు ఆర్ టు ఏ ట్రస్టెడ్ అనదర్ స్పిరిచువల్ అస్పైరెంట్. యూ షుడ్ నెవర్ డిస్క్లోజ్ వాట్ ఈస్ హ్యాపెనింగ్, బట్ దెర్ షుడ్ బి నో హిపోక్రిటికల్ బిహేవియర్ ఎట్ ఆల్. అబ్సెన్స్ ఆఫ్ హిపోక్రసీ అండ్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ బేస్డ్ అపాన్ ట్రూత్, దట్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ ఆర్జవం ఆర్ స్ట్రైట్ ఫార్వర్డ్నెస్. దెన్ వీ విల్ డిస్కస్ ఆచార్యోపాసనం, శౌచం, స్థైర్యం, ఆత్మ వినిగ్రహ. వి డిస్కస్డ్ ఎ లిటిల్ బిట్ ఆచార్య ఉపాసనం. ఇట్ ఈస్ హిందూ బిలీఫ్ వితౌట్ గురు నో స్క్రిప్చర్ షుడ్ బి రెడ్ ఇండిపెండెంట్లీ. అసంప్రదాయ ఈజ్ సివియర్లీ కండెమ్డ్ ఇన్ హిందూ స్పిరిచువల్ సాధన. వై? బికాస్ దెర్ హ్యావ్ బిన్ గ్రేట్ పీపుల్, ఇంటలెక్చువల్ పీపుల్, దే హ్యావ్ రిజెక్టెడ్ గురుస్, దే స్టడీడ్ దెమ్సెల్వ్స్ అండ్ దే హ్యావ్ ఓవెన్ వెరీ వాట్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ ఇన్యాక్యురేట్ ఫ్యాన్సిఫుల్ స్పిరిచువల్ ట్రూత్స్. బట్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ లాంగ్వేజ్ దే గెట్ గ్రేట్ నేమ్ అండ్ ఫేమ్, PhD డిగ్రీ ఎట్సెట్రా. సచ్ ఎ గ్రేట్ ఫిలాసఫర్, సచ్ ఎ గ్రేట్ లెర్నెడ్ మ్యాన్ హెస్ నాట్ ఎగ్జిస్టెడ్ ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్. దిస్ నేమ్ అండ్ ఫేమ్ విల్ కమ్, బట్ ఇట్ విల్ నాట్ బి ట్రూత్. ట్రూత్ మేనిఫెస్ట్ ఓన్లీ ఇన్ దోస్ పీపుల్ హూ హ్యావ్ సర్వ్డ్ ది గురు అండ్ అండర్స్టూడ్ ది స్క్రిప్చర్ ఇన్ ది లైట్ ఆఫ్ ది గురుస్ లైఫ్ అండ్ ఇంటర్ప్రిటేషన్. దట్ ఈస్ వై సంప్రదాయ ఇస్ వెరీ ఇంపార్టెంట్. సో దేర్ ఆర్ సెవరల్ నిషిద్ధ వాక్యాస్, ప్రొహిబిటరీ స్టేట్మెంట్స్ వేర్ అసంప్రదాయ విత్ ఏ పర్సన్ హూ డజంట్ కమ్ ఫ్రమ్ ఏ సంప్రదాయ, గురు పరంపర సంప్రదాయ, సచ్ ఏ పర్సన్స్ వర్డ్స్ యూ షుడ్ నెవర్ ట్రస్ట్. ఈవెన్ ఇఫ్ దే ఆర్ ట్రూ ఆల్సో యూ షుడ్ నాట్ ట్రస్ట్ దేర్ వర్డ్స్, బికాస్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ఇంపాసిబుల్ టు ప్రోగ్రెస్ ఇన్ స్పిరిచువల్ లైఫ్, మచ్ లెస్ రియలైజ్ గాడ్ వితౌట్ ది గ్రేస్ ఆఫ్ గురు. ఆర్ వీ ప్రైజింగ్ ఏ హ్యూమన్ పర్సనాలిటీ? నో, బికాస్ ఏ గురు ఈజ్ ఓన్లీ హ్యూమన్ పర్సనాలిటీ యాజ్ అన్ ఇన్స్ట్రుమెంట్, బట్ వాట్ కమ్స్ అవుట్ త్రూ హిమ్ ఈజ్ నథింగ్ బట్ ది ఫ్లో ఆఫ్ గాడ్స్ గ్రేస్. దిస్ ఈజ్ వాట్ శ్రీరామకృష్ణ ఇలస్ట్రేట్స్, ది ప్యూర్ రెయిన్ వాటర్ ఫాల్స్ ఆన్ ది రూఫ్ అండ్ మెనీ పీపుల్ దే కీప్ సమ్ ఓపెనింగ్స్ దేర్ ఫర్ దట్ రెయిన్ వాటర్ టు ఎస్కేప్ అండ్ నాట్ అక్యుములేట్ అండ్ డ్యామేజ్ ది బిల్డింగ్. Sometimes they put very artistic type of faces there, a lion's face or a human face, a devata's face, etc., through whose mouth water seems to be coming out. In reality, children think that this water is coming from a horse's mouth, elephant's mouth, or another human being's mouth. But the truth is, it is coming from God in the form of the clouds pouring the rain. It is pure distilled rain water, but let us not mistake. These pipes, these faces, they are called guru's bias. Every guru, even I mentioned also, if a person's character is not good, he is called asad guru, a wicked guru. But if somebody has shraddha, shraddha is a spiritual quality, this asad guru cannot give to such a disciple anything that is contrary to God's understanding, God's will. Only right thing will come out. But usually it doesn't happen. A worthy disciple gets an unworthy guru. There is a law yatha praja tatha raja. As the people, so also the ruler. As the shishya, so also the guru. As the guru, so also the shishya. A sadguru gets such shishyas, as I mentioned yesterday. And such shishyas never get any bad guru. But for some prarabdha reason, if such a thing happens, the sincere sadhaka can never be misled by such guru, because it is the God who flows even through that what is called impure pipe or instrument for that particular person. But if the same guru has got other impure disciples who want nothing else than impurity, of course God gives what a person deserves. So Shraddha is very important. That's why Acharya Upasanam, one should worship the Acharya. It doesn't mean physically providing with some such food and dinner and supper and presenting wonderful cloths and seeing that he doesn't suffer from heat or cold and taking care of that. That is also only the least part of the seva. What is real Acharya Upasanam? First thing in Acharya Upasanam, I must be equipped suitably so that whatever my teacher teaches me will fall into the righteous field. That means I am a what is called fit disciple. I must try to acquire sadhana chatushtaya sampatti. This is the first condition. Second, as I mentioned many times, that whatever comes out of the guru's mouth, I should put it into practice and prove to him I am a worthy disciple, and whatever you taught me, I did not let it go in waste, but I tried my level best. And whom do you think the guru will be more pleased? Only through that disciple who has realized what he has been trying is very hard to bestow. When a teacher teaches to his very best and a student listens very best and then understands what the teacher is talking, it gives such a tremendous joy to the teacher, because he understands, I am so fortunate to get such a great disciple. Yama Dharmaraja, we have seen, felt extremely blessed that to get a disciple like Nachiketa. And he tells, oh Nachiketa, may I have more disciples like you. And in a way of speaking, he must have got many disciples, but none were like Nachiketa. So he might be having a tinge of regret. So he is telling, I never derived so much joy teaching a worthy disciple, etc. So this is what we have to understand. Acharya Upasanam means become complete non-resisting instrument so that the teaching of the Acharya flows unobstructed through the disciple's heart and transforms him and makes him equal to the Acharya, and that effort is called Acharya Upasanam. Then Shaucha. Yesterday we discussed Shaucha means cleanliness, purity. If it is external, it is called cleanliness. The surroundings, the body, the room, the environment, as much as possible, we have to keep it clean. Why? Because if we sit, say for meditation, for study of scriptures, in an unclean places, in a congested place, in a place where all rubbish and dirty things are accumulating, naturally it will have its own influence. We will never be able to do it. Also, it is said, an unclean place only reflects an unclean mind. Therefore, if you see somebody, you can say his mind is also very much cleaned. But the most important thing is called inner purity. Cleaning of the mind is called purity. From what is purity? Freedom from impurities. What are the impurities? There are many, but all of them have been divided into six qualities. What are they? We all know. They are called inner enemies, spiritual enemies. Shad Ari. Six enemies. Six Shatrus. What are they? Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mada, and Matsarya. And this Kama, Krodha, Lobha, these three stem from that guna called Rajoguna. If there are three gunas, as we know, Sattva Guna, Rajoguna, and Tamoguna. Now, a person who has got so much percentage of tamoguna, he cannot have even kama, he cannot have krodha, he cannot have lobha, moha, mada, matsa. His mind is too dull even to think of all these things. Only a rajasic mind can have tremendous passions surging and vibrating inside. It will not allow him to keep quiet. When kama or desire is thwarted, it becomes krodha. And when krodha cannot be expressed, it becomes lobha, moha, mada, and matsarya. So all these six includes every other imaginable, conceivable, unspiritual quality. So what is inner purity? Trying to make the mind be filled with as less of these six qualities is as possible. How can we do that? One way is prayer. Another way is to find out. This is what Holy Mother has been teaching again and again. You stop finding fault with others and start finding fault within yourself. What is that finding fault with oneself? It is this. If we, as a sakshi, witness, objectively try to see our mind, focus that power of what is called discrimination, viveka. If we throw that torchlight called viveka onto our own mind, then as we know, as modern psychologists have discovered, the mind has several layers and it can be roughly divided into three categories: the subconscious, the unconscious, and the superconscious. Superconscious, of course, is the state we want to attain. But subconscious means just recent experiences. I don't immediately recollect, but if I make slight effort, then I can recollect them. But there are janma-janmantara samskaras, so much hidden from our view, but nevertheless, their poisonous effects are being felt every moment of our life. For that, we need a tremendous amount of power of discrimination. Throw the floodlight into the very bottom of our unconscious mind. At the first day, we may not succeed. First year, we may not succeed. After 50 years, we may not succeed. But a day will come. No poisonous thought or feeling will ever arise without our being aware of it. One CCTV you put, even in sleep also, God protects us with this CCTV. As we have seen, that Sri Ramakrishna had a vision of a Paramahamsa yogi. Then he said, if your mind gets deviated, distracted, other than the lotus feet of the Divine Mother, I will pierce you with this. This is called keeping a watchman in our own mind by ourselves. If we can do it, then slowly our mind becomes pure. So to aid that purity, we have several methods. The first method is pray. Oh Lord, grant me the power to see what is my defect and grant me that power so that I can slowly overcome it. So prayer is very important. God, out of His mercy, not only will show us what defects we have, but He will also aid us in getting rid of these defects in the form of the Guru. Second, how to get rid of the impurities? This is a yogic method which is called Pratipaksha Bhavana. What is Pratipaksha Bhavana? Suppose somebody is having kama. Sri Ramakrishna advises such a person that instead of desiring a worldly object, now slowly train your mind. Do not reduce the desire. Increase the strength of the desire. But now turn mode firyadav. Turn the direction so that, O Lord, may I desire you more and more instead of these fleeting objects. Swami Vivekananda, in his Bhakti Yoga and in one of the books, very beginning, he takes the quotation from Prahlada in Bhagavatam, and that most beautiful utterance by Prahlada is, O Lord, people are tremendously attached to worldly objects. So I want to get attached to you. Give me the same strength or intensity of attachment which worldly people have towards worldly objects. So let me have the same thing, but towards you. In other words, you turn the direction. So have everything. And then what becomes kama transforms itself into prema. So this has been beautifully expressed in Bengali also, that atmendriya priti ichcha dhore kam nam, krishnendriya priti ichcha tari nam prem. Then all our desires are turned towards other than Krishna, other than God, towards worldly objects. All that desire goes by the name of kama. But the same kama, same desire turned towards Krishna goes by the name of prema. The material of kama and prema are not two different things, exactly same material. But what we have to understand is the direction which takes us in the right or wrong path, that if it is making us more firmly entrenched in samsara, it is called kama. If it is slowly taking us out of samsara and towards God, towards liberation or mukti, that is called prema. Prema always is a spiritual love. Kama is always worldly love. This is the difference between kama and prema. Even though sometimes, most times, when people go on singing, I love you, I love you, really it is not prema, because it is directed only towards worldly objects. So it is nothing but unadulterated kama, worldly desires. And it is no wonder, it slowly takes us deeper and deeper into this samsara. So what are we talking about? Shaucham. Shaucham means externally, shaucham is called cleanliness. Internally, it is called purity, pavitrata. So first through prayer, second through pratipaksha bhavana. Third, Sri Ramakrishna indicates satsangat, cultivate holy company. And there is a beautiful saying, satsangatve nissangatma. As we go on cultivating holy company, slowly our mind develops. Nissangatva means non-attachment. But really it is not non-attachment. It is the same worldly attachment, but now directed towards God. That is called nissangatva. Nissangatve nirmohatva. As our mind becomes less and less influenced by attachments, our mind becomes more and more pure. Purity means less, what is called getting rid of delusions, getting rid of wrong understanding, getting rid of things that what is called this world is nothing but God in reality. So this is called moha, means to think of God as world, and nirmoha means to think of the world as God, to realize, to recognize the world is nothing other than God. This snake which frightens me is none other than the pure, harmless, joyful rope. Nirmohatve jivan muktihi. As soon as moha is gone, delusion is gone, then that person becomes a jivan mukta. He becomes completely free. This is a beautiful verse. Satsangatve nissangatvam, nissangatve nirmohatvam, nirmohatve nischala bhaktihi, nischala bhakti jivan muktihi. These are two versions are there, but both are very wonderful versions are there. So we have to acquire, that is our special effort, spiritual effort. Shaucham, purity, cleanliness. Then sthairyam, sthiratvam. The word sthairya came from the sthira. Sthira means immovable. So 1 minute I want God, 1 minute I want something else. That is called restlessness. No, I want only God. Can somebody develop sthairyam for worldly object? Not possible. Why? Because not only our mind is always moving, but the object which we desire is also changing. One cannot have unchanging attachment to a changing object, but one can have unchanging attachment to an unchanging object. And the only unchanging object is none other than God. Therefore, it is logically impossible to develop unchanging, strong attachment to the worldly objects. In fact, any attachment to worldly object is a very weak attachment. Nobody can have strong attachment if we think really deeply. Why? Because to be attached, the object must be very steady. However steady our camera is, If the object whose photograph I want to take is constantly moving, the picture that comes onto the film is only blurry picture, unclear picture, never a clear picture. It is impossible. But even though I give this, a person moving in a fast car wants to take photographs. Of course, nowadays technology is there. Some compensation is given. But a person is standing comfortably, his camera is firmly fixed on the ground and it is unshaking. But the object must also be unshaking, unmoving, unchanging. In spiritual parlance, such a steady mind, that quality of that mind which doesn't move, is called sthairyam. And the object, only object, which can make the mind completely immovable, such an object is none other than God, because He is unmoving, He is unchanging. He is Nitya and He is beyond all change. This is the understanding we have, this great spiritual quality. Once we understand, everything in this world, first of all, is mixed with happiness and unhappiness. Secondly, everything in this world is changing. Thirdly, our mind also is changing. But if we want eternal happiness, because every changing object, however pleasant it is, a pleasant object changes into unpleasant object. Sri Ramakrishna used to give this example. However wonderful, a delicious food, say payasa as rasagulla, and you keep it for a few days, it becomes the most unpalatable, unappetizing object, disgusting object, giving a foul smell. We want to run away, closing our nose. The only object which increases our thirst, our enjoyment, pratikshanam vardhamanam. This is the description Narada gives in the Narada Bhakti Sutra. Pratikshanam vardhamanam, the love of God. Every moment it is increasing. But we must develop some amount of steadfastness and never be deviated from it, whatever be the circumstances. Many times, life is not going smoothly. There are many difficulties, many downs or ups. At that time, the mind should not be allowed to move in synchrony, in rhythm with those ups and downs. It will be, as we say, like the Dhruva Nakshatra, absolutely steadfast. Whatever storms are tossing the boats in the ocean, but the Dhruva Nakshatra will be absolutely immovable and guides the pilots of these boats to their destinations without betraying them at all. So this quality of sthairyatvam is very, very important. This is called sankalpa. That is why when doing puja, we take this sankalpa. Until the puja is over, I will not think of anything else excepting the proper sequence, performing everything in right sequence. Sthairyam. Then Atma Vinigraha. What is Atma here? Not Paramatma, not Jivatma. Here it means Antakarana, mind. Or it means both body and mind. Body must be healthy and all the limbs must be in their perfect health. So mind also must be a perfect health. And they must be not only be perfectly, what is called, instruments capable of giving what they are supposed to give us, but they must be in our control. There are so many people, body is healthy, mind is healthy, but it is not in their control. That personality is under their control. This is what in the Kathopanishad we have seen, Yama Dharmaraja is graphically describing. A chariot, if it is yoked to well-trained horses and all of them move uniformly in harmony towards the desired destination, and such a person who has got all these indriyas or horses here, the body is the chariot and moving towards God is the spiritual journey, and the driver, if he drives them in the proper direction, keeping them under his absolute control, then the destination will be reached soon and the fruit of the destination will be we attain mukti. But where the horses are untrained, they are completely restless and they are each moving in different directions, it is natural that the person not only doesn't reach the destination, but there is every danger that he might be destroyed, he might be injured, both physically or in his mind also. So this is what is being said. Atma vinigraha means complete control over the body and mind. Very interesting incident was there. When Sri Ramakrishna was plunging into the depths of spiritual sadhana, he later on reminisced. He used to tell that I used to show the stone image of Kalabhairava in front of the Divine Mother Kali's temple above the Nat Mandir and say, "Oh mind, you must be as steady as that Kalabhairava when you sit for meditation." And of course, he did pray to the Divine Mother, "Mother, help me so that my body will not be restless and moving. The mind also should not be restless and not moving." And as a result of that sincere prayer, he used to narrate, reminisce, and as soon as I sat for meditation, as if somebody from inside locked all the joints of the body and I had no power to move them, even if I wanted to move them. Very funny things come. Sometimes, you know, there would be itching sensation. And it is very peculiar when we are at a place, at a time, when we can reach any part of our body and comfortably scratch ourselves, such itching doesn't arise. But when we sit for meditation, this impossible itching sensation comes at a place which is impossible to reach, and then we suffer silently. But what can we do? Somehow we put up a chadar and do what we need to do to get relief. But Sri Ramakrishna is telling, I had absolutely no power to move until that some power, it unlocked it, and then only I can get up. Now we wonder, who is that power which locks and unlocks? It's nothing but this sthira buddhi, that mind will power, says, from this time to this time, I am not going to allow the body to move. Such a perfect control is very natural for great souls. It is said when Swami Vivekananda used to sit to teach Raja Yoga to his students, "Now this is how you have to sit and this is how you have to meditate." As soon as he sits and tries to meditation, the old samskara completely possesses him, and then he becomes in a few seconds completely unconscious. Once Girish Chandra Ghosh noticed, when he and Narendra went to Panchavati at night to meditate, he saw within a minute the whole back of Narendra was completely blanketed by millions of ferocious mosquitoes. But he was completely unconscious of all those things. Now, what is, of course, Girish Chandra Ghosh says, "I could not sit for more than a few minutes because of these ferocious mosquitoes." So let whatever it be, that this is the great thing that we have to understand, how his mind comes under control. Of course, we have to try. So as I said, we have to pray, and it is only the divine grace which can make us completely think of God steadily, unmovingly, and so body will be healthy, mind will be healthy, but it will be in our control. This is called Atma Vinigraha. Then we move to the next verse, which is called 9th verse. We just completed 8th. Indriyartheshu vairagyam anahankara evacha janma mrutyu jara vyadhi dukha dosha anudarshanam asaktihi. We will see this one. Indriyartheshu vairagyam. Vairagyam means deep dispassion. And it has to be developed by slow degrees. Dispassion to what? Indriya artheshu. Every indriya. We have got, you know, 10 indriyas. 5 of knowledge and 5 of action. So the eye, whenever it notices something very beautiful, let it be food material, let it be painting, let it be the opposite sex, whatever it is, without our conscious control, it goes again and again to its stress. And it wants to see only, it wants to hear only, it wants to smell, it wants to taste, it wants to touch. A person who hopes to progress in spiritual life cannot afford to let his indriyas, sense organs, do whatever they like. We have to control the desire from within, but we have to physically restrain the external sense organs. How many Buddhists, when they go out for bhiksha or for whatever purpose, they go on looking only 3 feet in front of them. They will not even look at anybody 3 feet, because they have to see where they are going, that they don't stumble, they don't get injured, or they don't injure anything, they don't step over something alive, etc. So it is permitted. This is called Nasikagra Drishti. So it is also said in the 6th chapter, one must sit straight forward, back should be straight, and the gaze of the eye should be fixed at the tip of the nose. Many people get eye pain by doing so. But the idea is that half-closed eyes, not seeing beyond, because if we see something, then we get distracted. Why then? Why not close the eyes at all? Because very likely we fall asleep. Because we have habituated, conditioned our mind, as soon as I close my eyes, oh sleep, you are welcome, so please come. But why does it happen? Because the only time when we close our eyes is either when we are very much tired, when we want to sleep, or when we relax on the bed, and then for life after life we have been practicing, and as soon as our back is flat on the bed, the eyes close, and then it is a cue to the mind, now Babu wants to go into this sleep, so you are free to possess him and pull him into you. Yadevi sarvabhuteshu nidra rupena samsthita. This is being said here, indriya artheshu vairagya. Inside also, there must be control. Outside also, there must be control. Outside, what does it mean? Do not allow the eye to see. Do not hear what doesn't concern you. Like this, you have to control. What about the organs of the action? Yes, because following the indriyas, I want to go near that place. No, you say to your legs, you don't need to go at all. You don't say to the hands, you do not need to grab. Of course, certain actions, if we have to go to answer calls of nature, etc., you have to go at the convenient places in a particular manner. But we have to restrain both the organs of knowledge and as well as the organs of the action in the mind, then physically also, gradually this control over will come. This is called indriya artheshu vairagyam. Artha means the objects of the senses. Indriyas means senses. So the control of the indriyas is from within, and the control of the arthas or the sense objects is from outside. We have to slowly progress, and ultimately force will not do. That is why it is said vairagya, dispassion. And vairagya, remember, always comes upon discrimination. When discrimination, the process of reasoning, right reasoning, convinces us, this is not good for you, this is good for you. And then we have to practice. Knowing itself will not do. We are all great because we expound scriptures. But when it comes to practice, we are zero. That's why somebody said, I know what to do, but I have no power, not following what the mind wants to do. Janami dharmam nachame pravruti. I know what is dharma. I have absolutely no desire to follow it. Janami dharmam nachame nivruti. I know what is adharma, but I have no strength to control it. These are the wise words came from the mouth of Duryodhana, and when he was lying on the battlefield, after his thighs were broken by Bhimasena. So, indriyartheshu vairagya. Then the greatest thing we have to slowly make it less and less is called ahankara. So, body brings ahankara, mind brings ahankara, and wealth brings ahankara, talents bring ahankara. Any particular special power we have, immediately ahankara will come. Nowadays, our ahankaras have become. So usually people think nowadays ahankara or egotism has become very strong. On the contrary, ahankara has become extremely frail, extremely weak. What do we mean? If the ahankara is very strong, even if 100 people beat, 100 people hurl insults, etc., the person doesn't even think twice. That is called true strength of the mind. It is only a weak body, is smallest microbe, it will simply, the body will fall down. A little bit of push, immediately the body will fall down. So a little bit of the push and the mind also will completely get deviated from its what is called professed claim and goes in the opposite direction, running, jumping, like a ball thrown up on, from the upstairs, dancing and dancing. At every step, it gets up, comes to the lower step, gets up, comes to the lower step. In no time, it reaches to the bottom. That is how Shankaracharya, he describes this one, our mind, the motion of our mind. So, control of the ahankara is a most important thing. In fact, Sri Ramakrishna says, if you can control your ahankara, you are a realized soul. And who is a bound soul? A person whose ahankara controls him. One person asked him, when can I realize God? And he makes a pun. When the I is destroyed, then you realize God. It looks an irrational statement. If I am not there, who is going to realize God? The understanding is, so you are not what is called anything excepting your I. And if I can be transformed, your I can be transformed. Let it be spiritual I. Let it be very proud. Let it desire terribly. But everything is directed towards God. I desire God. I am angry on things which obstruct my going towards nearer God. And I want more and more of God. And I am deluded with the love of God. And I am arrogant because I am the greatest devotee of God. And I am completely mesmerized by God. And I feel jealous of other people who are progressing towards God. I will not allow anybody. I will beat all of them. It's not ordinary jealousy. I will work in such a strong manner that others have to become jealous of me because I am more progressing towards God than those people. This is called spiritual ahankara. In Sri Ramakrishna's words, apakva ahankara. Paka ami, kacha ami. This kacha ami is what makes a person baddha, bound. Is paka ami, a ripe ego. Spiritual practice is nothing but acquiring this mature ego, which relates itself entirely and in its entirety towards God. This acquisition of paka ahankara, mature I, is the ultimate result of Brahma Jnana. So when here Bhagavan Krishna is telling that get rid of your ego, it doesn't mean you destroy the ego, but you transform the ego from unspirituality to spirituality. Then is coming something wonderful. We are fascinated with our life. And what is this life? Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadhi, Dukkha and Dosha. Is what is called sixfold defects. Asti, Jayate, Vartate, Apakshiyate, Viparinamate, Vinashyati. This beautiful idea one has to meditate upon. See defect in birth, see defect in death, see defect in old age, see defect in disease, see defect even in the greatest worldly happiness. And that ability not to see happiness in life, but to see only dukkha. Even the most fortunate circumstances should always be seen as full of dosha. That anudarshana, that firm understanding that birth itself, life itself, is full of dukkha, existential dukkha, of which Buddha talked about. This perception of life through that spiritual light is the greatest quality we have to develop. There is something wonderful we have to discuss about it, which we will do in our next class. Om Vasudeva Sutam Devam Kamsachanuramardhanam దేవకీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం. మే రామకృష్ణ ఓలీ మదర్ అండ్ స్వామి వివేకానంద బ్లెస్ అస్ ఆల్ విత్ భక్తి.